And I had a nice, logical, easygoing presentation prepared and ready for this evening. And tonight on my way in, the Lord got a hold of me and he got it emotional. So I don't know what direction we're going to go. I'm not going to promise I'm not going to yell. Last time I promised you I wouldn't yell and I didn't. I went through the whole entire thing without yelling once. I can't promise. Yeah, Brother Kedrick, you ought to listen to the tape. It's amazing. I talk just like this the whole time. Can we just pray for a second? I believe God's going to help some of us tonight. Romans chapter 8 and verse 9 says, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." And I just want to talk for a little bit about that first part of the scripture. You are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. And I'm gonna title this evening, "You Can't Clock Out." You can't clock out. You're not in the flesh. You're in the Spirit. And ladies and gentlemen, we cannot ever clock out. Until God wraps this portion of our existence up and we move on into glory, we can't clock out. God, we give you glory and honor. Pray that you open our hearts and our minds. Let your Spirit be in this house, God. Help us tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Romans 8 and 9 says we are in the Spirit. You know, the pastor talks about you brush your teeth in the Spirit, you eat your Wheaties or your glazed Texas-sized honey bun in the Spirit. So everything that we do in the Spirit. We are spiritual beings. Spirit is primary, the flesh is secondary. So everything we do has a spiritual connotation or a spiritual attachment to it. Now, what you do physically affects your spirit world. And then what goes on in the spirit world affects you physically. It's a cyclical relationship. Each one drives the other. So as I'm thinking of this the other day, God kind of opened my understanding a little bit to show me how to use this to my advantage. The way this works is, you have control over what you do physically. So what God does is God has expectations or requirements of you. He gives you opportunities to control things in your spiritual, in your physical situation. Depending on how you respond and react, he then gives you spiritual authority that goes beyond what you naturally have. Then you can use the spiritual authority to turn around and affect your physical reality again. Does that make sense? Let me give you an example. I don't have the authority or the power to bring salvation unto myself. I can't save me. So what God did is he gave me a set of expectations that if I repent, if I receive the Holy Ghost and speak in tongues, and if I'll be baptized in Jesus' name, these are physical things that I can control and I can do. As a result of these activities, if I will do that, he will then give me spiritual release and I can have salvation in the Spirit. You see, so if I control what I can control physically now, I can then affect things in the spirit world. So basically, we put on Christ. God allows me to use his authority and his power. He's the only one that can save me. But he gives me access to his authority and his power based on how I respond and what I do physically with what I can control. Now, what a lot of people want to do, Brother Kedrick, is they want to control things in the spirit world and have results in the physical world, but they don't start with the first thing that they can control. So what they want to do is they want to stand up and make great spiritual proclamations of blessings into their life and open all these spiritual doors, and they want to do all these, but see, they're skipping the first step of taking the necessary, easy, day-to-day choices of controlling what they're doing to give them validity in the spiritual world. Let's go with a biblical example, the sons of Sceva. Does anyone know what happened to them? They went to cast devils out of somebody and ended up running naked and screaming down the street. Why? Because they didn't have the spiritual authority to do what they were trying to handle in the physical. And they got, as you might say, toe up from the flow up, because they were stepping outside of the bounds of their authority. It comes down to stewardship. It comes down to controlling what you can. The pastor says all the time, you have to do what you know to do. And there are things sitting in front of all of us right now that we know we need to be doing. And there's answers to questions that we have that we know right now that we have some modicum of control over portions of it. But we want to skip over that, and we want to tap into God, and we want him to come down and do something miraculous. See, we want to step to steps 2 and 3 without handling the basic steps of 1 and 2 that we know we can do. And so we want to call on God to change things. Let me give you an example where this kind of plays out a lot in the quasi-Christian world of binding and loosening. Boy, there are some eloquent binders and looseners out there. I mean, guys who will pray down, they will bind some stuff, and they're going to bind poverty, and they're going to loose blessings. They're going to loose the blessings of Abraham. They're going to enlarge their territory. Great proclamations, binding and loosening, and they want to just verbalize. They want to, in a moment of prayer or in a moment of spirituality, make a verbalization, a proclamation into the spirit world, and expect to have physical results back in their world because of that proclamation. But binding and loosening is not simply a matter of making a proclamation. Binding and loosening is not about what you speak. I've heard many people say, I bind the spirit of pride and I loose humility. I bind fear and I loose and all that. And they walk out in their pride and they get beat up and they go home and they're scared. And what happened? You bound and you loosed all kinds of things. But the issue of binding and loosening is not just a verbalization, Davin, that you make in a moment of prayer or in a moment of heightened spiritual awareness. Binding and loosening is much more attached to how you live your life every day. That's how you bind things. That's how you loose things. In Matthew 16 and 9, is that it, Dustin? 16 and 19. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. You see, most people want to bind it in the spirit realm first. They want to bind it in heaven and have it be bound in earth. They want to loose it in heaven and have it be loosed on earth. That's not how, if you want the blessings of Abraham, if you want to be pressed down, shaken over, and running, you know what you got to do, Brother Kedrick? Pay your tithes. That's how you do it. It's controllable. It's in your wallet. If you want financial blessings from God, it's not about a proclamation. It's not about singing, I'm going to get my blessings right now. It's not about telling God, I need you to enlarge my territory and drive my stint takes. You pay your tithes. It's a controllable situation. It's something that God has set before you, laid out in His Word, that you can easily, consciously, by choice do. Now, so if you're not paying your tithes, you're binding and you're loosening. You're binding all of the blessings of God. He can't bless you because He said in your word, if you don't pay your tithes, you're robbing me. And you know what you're loosening? Curses all over yourself. You're cursing everything you touch. You're cursing your business. You're cursing your savings. You're cursing your check-ins. You're cursing it all by your activity. Now, you can stand in a moment of prayer of heightened spiritual awareness and say anything that you want. But the way you control these things are by your activities, what you do. And the thing is, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, that we are in the Spirit. Everything that you do has a spiritual ramification to it. Every move you make has a spiritual attachment to it. One of the things that really bothers me about Eli is the fact that he is learning when I'm not teaching. And I don't like that. You see, because there's sometimes when I'm not being a perfect papa. And there are sometimes when I'm being super dad and I want him to look at me and I say, son, this is how you should act and this is how you should be. I'm a super citizen. Be just like me and you'll be great. And I'm teaching him in those moments. But Nate, there's sometimes when I'm just a frustrated, angry, old, overweight, broke down, tired dude who just got home from work. And that's how I'm reacting. And I don't want him to be learning from me in those moments. I want to clock out. I don't want him to be gleaning from me. I don't want him to be looking at me saying, oh, this is how I act. This is how I react. This is how I react to mom. In those moments, I want him to go away and not know that I exist. But he's learning from me every moment, no matter what I'm doing. In the same way, there are times when you are wanting to clock out from being spiritual, but you cannot. You have to remember everything that you do has a spiritual connotation. Everything that you do has a spiritual reaction. And what you're doing by each activity is you're building your authority and your spiritual future, which will then manifest into your physical future. So literally, choice by choice and decision by decision, you are building your tomorrow. You're building your next 4 hours. Let me break it down to you this way. If you're sitting at home and you're watching a 7-hour bonanza of serial killer true life crime documentary videos, scaring the ever-loving willies out of yourself, when you go to bed that night, you're probably going to be scared. And you're going to lay there and go, God has not given me a spirit of fear. Oh, He's given me peace. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And you know what you're doing? You're standing here trying to reach into the spirit world to affect what you're feeling, but you missed this step. You shouldn't have watched 7 hours of serial killers killing other people, maiming and torturing them. You could control that element. So what you did when you watched all those horrific things is you ran a flag up the flagpole in the spirit world and you said, hey, spirits, come sit with me. I am welcoming you in by my activities, by my attitudes, by what I'm doing. And you're giving them a place in your life. And you're giving them control. And then you lay there at night and say, oh, I just don't know why I'm so scared. Everything that bumps in the night scares me. Well, I'll tell you why you're so scared, my brilliant friend. Because you filled your mind, your time, your energy. You connected your spirit to something hideous and evil all day long. Now, I promise you, if you take that same time and you turn it off and you had a prayer meeting and you listened to a CD of the New Life Praise Group singing. When you laid your head down that night, you know what you would have? A beautiful, restful night of sleep. And you would have peace, and you would have joy, and you would have contentment. Because it's about doing what you can control, taking control over the things that you can control, because everything you do has a spiritual ramification. If I don't want to have anxiety in my life, when something goes wrong, I don't need to get on the phone with Daniel and say, oh, I'm so scared because my life's going to fall apart and my wife's going to divorce me. She would never do that. Not just because she would go to hell if she did, but because I'm a wonderful husband. But the activity there, by that activity, so life brings me a situation. I then am in control of my reaction. What I do with that reaction is going to dictate in the spirit world the authority, the control that I have, and down the line, it's going to manifest again in my physical life. Does this make sense? It's about controlling these little things that you can control. And when you do that effectively, when you show good stewardship, God then grants you authority that you do not have. He gives you his authority. And now you have the power to affect and change and deal with things that are outside the scope of what you could actually deal with in yourself. And you can't ever, ever, ever clock out. Because everything that you, every conversation that you have has spiritual ramifications. Every thought that you have has spiritual ramifications. Every interaction that you have with other people has spiritual ramifications. When you get up in the morning, you are on the job, and you have to keep in mind that you are literally building your future. One choice, one decision, one response at a time. You are forming what your tomorrow is going to look like by the way that you are handling your right now. And God is sitting there watching you, and you have options every time. Everything that pops up in front of you, you have an option. How am I going to handle this? And you ready for the kicker? Everyone in here knows the right way to do it. There's no ambiguity. You know whenever you're doing something crazy. And most of the time, you're saying, man, I shouldn't be doing this. But maybe I'll get away with it. Maybe it'll be okay. Maybe the damage won't be too bad. Maybe I'll be able to run damage control when everything falls apart. Maybe no one will ever know that I did it. Because 10 times out of 10, we know the answers. It's laid out. You've heard enough preaching. You know enough. You know the right thing to do in those situations. But you've got to pull yourself out of the right now, out of the immediate, and you have to be cognizant of the fact, I am building my tomorrow. I am building my future. I want to have power and authority. I want to be able to affect what next week looks like. I was getting ready for church one morning, and I was thinking about the climate in my home. I didn't like it. Not the temperature, but the emotional climate. There was frustration there. There was aggravation there. And you know whose fault it was? It was me. Because I was bringing home frustration from work. I was bringing home irritation. And I would present that to my wife. I would present that to my son. And I realized that there were spirits in my house bothering my family that I brought in. I was the problem. I brought them in. And a lot of times I felt like I didn't have control in the situation because I had brought them in. But God just breathed on me that Sunday morning. And I did, you know, like you tell your like you tell Jasper Terry, you say, I brought you in this world. I'm going to take you out of this world. Something rose up in my spirit, and I started talking to frustration, and I started talking to anger and short-temperedness, and I said, I understand I brought you into this home. I opened the portal. I'm the Levite at the door, and I brought you in, but I'm going to take you out now. And it's time for you to go. And it's time for you to leave. And I stepped up into an authority that God gave me in the moment, and I made a spiritual decision. But the next morning, the next day when I came home from work, I parked my car, and you know what I had to do? Controllable, small controllable steps. I parked the car, and I smiled, and I reminded myself, it's different now than it was last week when I came home. Those spirits are gone, but I can bring them right back in with me right now if I choose to. So I pump the brakes, I smile, I say I got to be happy and cheerful. I got to whistle a little tune. I got to skip into the house. And when my wife says, how was your day? I have to say, wonderful. Just like my mother-in-law. No matter how my day was. Because how my day was can stop at the office. It doesn't have to come into my home and create a climate of anger and frustration. Because those anger, frustration, runs of we are in the spirit. We can't clock out. And if I exhibit those emotions in my home and let them have control, I'm inviting spiritual influences into my house that I don't even understand and know what I'm dealing with. But 5 years down the road, when your family falls apart, you say, something was wrong here. But it's simple, controllable choices that you can make every day that God wants us to start changing. Let me give you another one. This is not an easy one. People don't want to hear this, but it's the same principle. I was getting ready, I was cooking in our little house in Trustville one day, and I remember distinctly, I was just thinking down the train of thought about where are all the miracles. You know, because you hear that kind of preaching. How come we don't have the miracles like they have overseas? And where are all the miracles? And I'm thinking about miracles. And I'm just thinking about that. And the disciples had miracles. And God spoke to me. And he was irritated. And he said, no room for a miracle. And I was like, flipping my turkey burger, saying, no room for a miracle. That's interesting. And this is what he told me. He said, a miracle is a miraculous thing that happens. People are running around saying, where are the miracles? But they're dealing with situations that don't need the miraculous. If you're 800 pounds and your knees hurt, and you're praying to God, heal my knees, he's saying, if you lost 400 pounds, your knees wouldn't hurt. The solution to your problem is in your own hand. You don't need anything miraculous. You need to govern yourself. If you make $200 a week and you spend $300 a week and you're down in the altar weeping, saying, God, I need you to provide me finances. He's saying, you don't need a miracle. There's no room for anything miraculous. The solution to your problem is right in your own hand. What you have to do is get a budget. But we don't want to get a budget. That's a controllable, physical step that we can take. We want to step over one right into the spirit world and say, God, I want you to reach down from the spirit world and change my situation. And God's saying there's no room for a miracle there. There's no room. It wouldn't be miraculous. The definition of a miracle, of something miraculous, means that an unnatural thing that I couldn't make happen, happened. And God's saying, there's no room for me to do a miracle here, because you can solve it yourself. You have the solution in your hand. It's the same principle. Simple, controllable steps you can take, things that you can do right here, right now, within your grasp, that will give you authority and power in the spiritual situation that will turn around and manifest it in your physical situation. Does this make any sense? I know this is very, very, very dry, but the pastor said we don't have to yell on Wednesdays. So the principle is you must be aware of what you're involving yourself with at all times. You cannot clock out. Every discussion that you have, every decision that you make, realize, pull back from the fight. Your wife is a wonderful person. You have to remember that when she's disagreeing and not seeing the thing the same way that you see it. And you have to say, okay, I can react emotionally. I can react in this moment. I can push the pause button. I can pull back and think, what kind of a climate am I going to create in my family? What are my children going to see? What kind of a spirit am I going to invite into my home based on the way I react right now? And it takes a pause. It takes a moment. A lot of people call civilization the space between stimulus and response. An animal reacts instinctively. There's no pause. You kick a dog, he snaps at you. He doesn't say, oh, you're the one who feeds me. You're the one who scratches me behind my ear and does all these wonderful things, so I'll let you kick me. But he reacts instinctively. Civilization, in some circles, is defined as the distance between the stimulus and your response. And what we need to do is we've got to lengthen that time between the stimulus and response, and you've got to think, there are spiritual ramifications for everything that I am doing, especially if you're a parent. Especially if you're a parent, because there are little children in your home, and you are opening up spiritual portals day in and day out. You're opening and closing spiritual valves. What are you allowing into your home? What are you sacrificing for your own enjoyment? There are a lot of people who are living just to stay out of hell. The thought in my mind is the tragedy of a partial victory. And it's someone who is living just to stay out of hell. So here's hell. All this is hell. All this is all the promise and potential of God. And a lot of apostolics, they live right here on the verge of hell. And they have partial victories. They have small victories in little areas of their life, but they never have complete domination. And so what happens is they're tied to these little things in the physical that keep them right here. And they're not going to hell, but they're not experiencing any of the joy or the promise or the goodness that living for God is. You're tied right here. And you're tied up with little things that aren't going to send you to hell. It's not going to send me to hell, so I involve myself in it. And when you involve yourself in it, you're opening spiritual portals, and you're allowing spirits into your home. You're allowing spirits to... You can go to heaven and be tormented. You can make it to heaven and be miserable. You don't want to live in a partial victory. You don't want to live just for the sake of not going to hell. But you've got to start thinking about small decisions. You've got to start thinking about little things. The number one altar that we sacrifice our potential on is entertainment. Unequivocally, is entertainment. There are things that we look at and we say, well, it's not going to send me to hell. The pastor didn't specifically say, don't watch this or don't be involved in this, so I'm going to dabble in it. And it's a partial victory. And these things chain you to the rim of hell. You're just going to squeak into heaven, but you're never going to experience the potential. You're never going to experience the fullness of a relationship with God. Chained to these things. You've got to make a decision. You are a spiritual being. When you sit there and watch things that are quote-unquote okay because they're documentaries, but they're tormenting your spirit, you are chaining yourself spiritually, and you're opening a portal in your home for your children to be exposed to spirits that they're not old enough yet to deal with. They have no business being exposed to these things. Does this make any sense tonight? We're about done. We've got 5 minutes. Choice by choice, decision by decision, you are building your destiny. So the concept, the principle, the idea tonight that I want to bring across is simply that you cannot clock out. You walk in the Spirit. You can't help it. You can't not walk in the Spirit. You cannot say, you know what, Brother Kedrick, I've had a long day. I've been very holy today. I've had wonderful godly thoughts about everyone. I've spoken kind and uplifting things, and I just want to go be a little bit carnal. I'll go in my room by myself and shut the door. I won't affect or hurt anyone else. No one has to know. I just want to relax a little bit. I want to clock out from being spiritual. You can't do it. We are spiritual beings. Everything that you do, every move that you make, every decision that you make, you are building decision by decision, piece by piece, your own future. You are literally either constructing a good tomorrow or you are tearing down your potential and your own future. You can't clock out. You can't clock out. You can't clock out. Especially as a parent, especially as somebody in the church, in the family of God that have young people looking up to you. But in your own personal life, you don't want to live to just not go to hell. There's too much at stake. There is no entertainment out there that's worth the potential and the blessing that God has for you. There is no trinket of the world. There is no pleasure of the flesh. It all breaks down to lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, pride of life. What are you sacrificing? What are you sacrificing for a little moment of enjoyment or pleasure? You are a spiritual being. Everything that you do has ramifications. Stop. Take the time. Think about it. Pull back. Build authority in the future. I want to be able to stand up when my son is sick and in full authority and anointing of the Holy Ghost, make a proclamation that God honors. I don't want to be the son of Sceva, beat up and running naked down the street, and believe you me, none of you want to see me being a son of Sceva. But if you're going to bind and loosen things in your life, you know how you do that? Day by day walking with God. Decision by decision, standing with the counsel of the Word of God, and you will, that, it's not in a 90-day fast of only eating kale. Those are good things. Of only drinking water, of almost killing yourself, of going on some kind of spiritual binge. Those are good things. They're great. It's wonderful. I highly recommend it for you. I'm not doing it. But if you want to build anointing and power in the Spirit, you make consistent, principled decisions. As an example, I would submit to you my pastor. That I don't know a more principled man who literally every choice and decision he makes constantly, I sit around his table and I watch what he's doing. And day in, day out, every decision, every thought is laid up against the structure of the Word of God. And he makes his decisions that way. And when I'm in trouble, I want my pastor around. Because I know if he's around, God's real close by too. He's a man of God. He walks in authority, decision by decision, choice by choice. They are ready for us to eat, and I am ready for us to eat. Daniel, would you pray over the food?